This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Guest line and all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop, Spadonian for Bonte Hill alongside Joe Shasky. Lakers 115, Warriors 113 yesterday. Anthony, first and foremost, though, do you have a good Christmas, bud?
A Christmas spread?
Did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah. Oh, did I have a good Christmas? I mean, I worked for like the 12th straight Christmas.
Oh.
It was solid. My kid's almost two now. He kind of got it a little bit more this year, I guess. So I saw him. He was actually at the game yesterday, which that was the first time he's been at a game.
A double R special?
No, he wasn't on Ritter Row. I call Ritter Row that last section in 120. But everything's a double R special at this point.
I like that. There's so much to unpack from this game. And I'm going to start here because it's a small sample size, but it's been four games now of the Dennis Schroeder experience with Golden State. And has looked good, Anthony. Too early to call this a bust?
Yes, it's too early. It's four NBA games, but not good ones, I would agree. 11 made shots in four games total, 11 of 39. 4 of 17 from 3, and 3 of those 3s actually came last night. He hit a big one down the stretch, I will say. But, yeah, he's not shooting it that well. He's streaky, and he, you know, Warriors got him on a bad streak, number one. And two, obviously, he's adjusting, and I'd like to see them run more, you know, design pick-and-roll action for him. And, yeah, he'll be better. He'll hit more shots. I do kind of like what he does defensively. But, yeah, I don't know. It hasn't been good. And pretty much everything they're trying second unit wise isn't really working right now.
No, it's not. But what does work, whether it's the NBA as a large or these two individually, and I guess the rivalry that's grown, it's just the LeBron and Steph thing, man. 5 minutes to go, and I'm going to be long-winded here, but 5 minutes to go, he checks in. Yeah, Steph does. He hits a three, cutting it to five. LeBron answers back over Dennis Schroeder. Then LeBron high pick and roll to Christie. Then Curry to Kuminga on the baseline cutter. Then LeBron blocks a shot. Schroeder hits a three. And then Curry hits the layup. I mean, it was back and forth and back and forth. And Curry hits a shot over LeBron late. Like, man, these are all-time greats. And I feel like, I know you don't. And I know that there's a segment of the fans that don't. We're going to miss this matchup, man, LeBron versus Curry. This is like... This is some legendary stuff, the two of them. They bring the best out of each other.
Good post-game interview by LeBron, too, kind of calling out the NFL a little bit, I thought. It should be appreciated. What was that, like 53rd regular season matchup? You add all those finals together, I'm sure they're up into the 70s of games played. I thought the summer was cool to see them together with Durant. I mean, I think, you know, that... in history, that Olympics will be appreciated for those guys finally coming together. And it's kind of become a little bit of a love affair between those two, a bromance, I believe Steve Kerr has called it.
You see before the game, you know, Anthony, that bro hug from LeBron?
Well, and he came out and, he's trying to block the shot. Like, you would have never seen that a few years ago, right? They were still trying to, like, you know, have this, warfare approach. And, you know, I think there was a slight bit of animosity at a time, but that's no longer. You know, there's definitely a bromance.
You bring up what LeBron said in the postgame. Joe has the sound right here. We'll play it for you, and then I'll ask you a quick question.
I love the NFL. I love the NFL, but Christmas is our day.
Yeah, I disagree with him on that one. It might have been their day one point in time, kind of like how my dad used to beat me in the backyard playing hoops. And then one day, I dunked on him in the backyard on the mini hoop. And he realized, even though he won the game that day, that the end was near. And I still think that the NFL is coming for everything that the NBA has on Christmas, and this is going to be their formula moving forward. Next year, Christmas will be on a Thursday, so I'm assuming there'll be three or four NFL games. What is your thought league-wide when it comes to NFL versus NBA?
Yeah, I mean, look, the rating numbers are going to come out, and I think it's like obviously the NFL is going to get bigger numbers, you know, exponentially, just because more people watch the NFL, more people watch regular, particularly regular season NFL games. I still think playoff basketball is where the league makes its money, and I still think playoff basketball is appointment viewing. You know, we can remember even. You know, forget, obviously LeBron and Steph were exited early last year, but, you know, those Timberwolves second round series was good. You know, I thought the NBA Finals, personally, I was interested in it. But the NFL is a Goliath that is only growing, and you're right. They're going to play, if they're going to play Christmas on a Wednesday, I mean, at this point, they'll probably play it on a Tuesday too, right? It would probably
100%.
They'd probably just be pushing Monday Night Football back. Well, it would probably be
They have the Saturday in front of it. I don't mean to cut you off, but they utilized that Saturday game last week, you know, where, you know, basically college football's off and now they have the playoff, but they were like, hey, we'll stagger this so that if you play on a Saturday and you're playing on a Wednesday after, it's like going Sunday to Thursday.
Yeah. And it just is what it is. You just look, Mahomes and Lamar Jackson were playing yesterday. And yeah, that probably bit into some of the ratings for Wimby against the Knicks. But that Wimby Knicks game was great. I mean, I cover the NBA, so I'm more interested in the NBA. I watched the Knicks Spurs game. I'm assuming you guys watch the Chiefs Steelers, or were you kind of flipping back and forth?
Yeah, it's the Steelers too. Like, the Steelers brand is giant, and you can't really flip back and forth. Once you get into Netflix, you got to hit exit, and you got to go to whatever your show, whether it's Xfinity or YouTube TV, and you got to stream into that, and you got to change the channel. Like, it's not like it was back in the
day. Yes, Anthony, we watched football all morning up until Warriors.
And it wasn't our choice. This is like in a family room setting where
it was, you know, my choice.
Well,
yes.
For me, it wasn't. I was at someone's house.
That's all fine, but the NBA can't just demand the NFL not do it. You just put good games on. You hope you have better games than the NFL. And honestly, yesterday it was better theater. The NBA was much better, competitive games. Even that Mavs Wolves game was good. That morning game, I mean, Wimby scoring 42, that was good. I mean, Warriors Lakers went about as good as you can ask for if you're an NBA fan. So they did what they could do. They can't just hope and pray that the NFL does something that we know they're not going to do, which is not play on Christmas. So just put as good a product on the TV as you can and hope the games are better than the NFL. And, you know, there's a lot of money to be made. Let me tell you, you saw the NBA's new TV deal. Like, they're doing all right.
Yes. I was also a little concerned. I was just, you know, taking a macro view of everything. The fact that, and I get it, iconic brands, iconic players, you got LeBron, you got Steph. The fact of the matter is, both these teams are probably going to be play-in teams or fringe play-in teams at the end of the day.
They sure feel like it.
Not having a defending champion, Boston Celtics, right after the window's over. Not having them playing, I don't know, a finals rematch. Because it felt like in years past, Anthony, that was what it always was. Mm-hmm. It was either a finals rematch or a preview of what the NBA finals could be going forward. The fact that no one really cared, and again, this is my bubble, but no one seemed to care outside of probably Boston and Philly, and how Philly probably didn't even care that much because they're focused on Jalen Hurts and his injury, what's going on with the Eagles. But no one cared that the defending champs were playing yesterday, and I think that's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, Boston's a little dull right now. They're in that, repeat stage where the season's getting a little, it's dragging on. They're waiting for April. Philly's obviously having a disaster year. It was actually, the game was interesting, though. It was close, and Philly really needed the win, and they finally had their guys together, and they did get the win. But look, if people aren't that into it, they're not that into it. I'm not sure Boston against Dallas would have done much better. I actually kind of like the Mavericks-Timberwolves matchup. They're clearly trying to feature, newer stars in the earlier windows. I thought the Thunder should have played. I think that was a miss.
Agreed.
By the league yesterday.
Agreed.
I would have featured them. But, you had Wimby and MSG, and he scored 42. I mean, the league's got to be fist pumping a little bit about that. I don't know. We'll see how much he resonates, but I think he's got a chance to. I mean, him with the Spurs brand is probably not, perfect as the league would have liked. But, I would say overall, in what has obviously been a rough patch for the NBA from, just public, consciousness and what people are talking about, I thought yesterday was actually a mini win for them.
Okay, fair enough. What about what's going on with the Warriors internally? You know, before the game, we hear reports that Steph had to address the entire team. Give us some elaboration on this, because the last time I heard of something like that was, I mean, going back to what, the King series, you know, from a couple of years ago. I mean, I'm sure there's been other things. So, yeah, just what's going on there?
Yeah, it wasn't, you know, Kings prior to game seven, you know, tents in the room, like, you know, don't come up to Sacramento with us if you're not all in the boat type, you know, speech. It was just basically like, hey, this is like an important time of the season. I talked to Kevon Looney a little bit about it in the locker room postgame, and he was like, look, this happens like 8-10 times a year, right? You know, you have kind of what feels like an important moment and stuff that needs to be said. And, you know, the leaders talk, and sometimes it's Draymond. And when Steph talks, like, that's, you know, that's an elevated level of listening from everyone in the franchise. And his point was like, the urgency is now. Like, it's kind of like, if it does feel like the next few weeks dictates where this thing goes, I think Steph wants to, you know, get back to a better place in the standings by the time they get closer to the trade deadline, closer to the All-Star break, where it feels like they're, you know, they might have to save their season or not at the trade deadline. So I think he just, when they went 12-3, he you could feel how encouraged he was, because it didn't feel like the last few years. It looked like they were going to have a level of a cushion where, for example, they're about to have a back-to-back in LA and at home against Phoenix. And you could feel comfortable resting Steph if you were higher in the standings. Now suddenly you're like, oh, Steph has to rest one of these two. Like, that's not a place that the Warriors want to be, but they found themselves in that place. And I just think, again, the pregame player-led meeting yesterday, it wasn't anything crazy. Honestly, they've had much tenser meetings, you know, the last two seasons, many after the preseason punch that everybody knows about. Or, you know, I can remember a couple from last year after some bad Klay Thompson shot selection nights that included, like, talking to Klay about, you know, kind of toning that down. So, to me, they're in a fine place, I think, internally in general. They're just not winning games. They're not closing out games. They're terrible in crunch time. And you're going to have somewhat bad vibes when you're losing, because that's how sports is. But I'm not looking at it saying, hey, this is an internal issue. I'm looking at it saying, like, this might be, like, you know, a talent issue, a second unit issue, whatever, a scoring issue for sure, their offense.
So what is the big difference from the 12-3 start to whatever the hell we've seen over the last 15 or so games?
I mean, I think their offensive rating is like 24th in the league or something like that over the last 14. So they're just like the Washington Wizards offensively, or, you know, whatever, name your lottery team. I think Steph's had a cold patch. He had scored a season high last night, but, you know, entering the game, he was like 38% overall in December. If you look at all their best wins this season, he's kind of rescued them late. Boston, Oklahoma City, the Klay game at home. And he hadn't been able to do that a lot. Last night he kind of did rescue them, and then they had a defensive lapse. And now you're starting to look at those games that could swing either direction, like a game at Houston, for example, where they have the loose ball foul, or, you know, last night where they let the blow by with Austin Reaves with no help. Like, those games become really critical when you lose all those swing games, and they're losing a bunch of swing games.
Talking to Anthony Slater, our Warriors insider, for 95.7 The Game and for The Athletic, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Anthony, just the inability yesterday for the Warriors to take advantage of basically no Anthony Davis. He leaves the game after 7 minutes and doesn't return with an ankle injury. Why could they not take advantage of more of that at the rim?
They don't have a lot of, like, rim pressure guys. You know, they've been playing Trayce Jackson-Davis more lately. He's been solid. I thought he was more impactful the couple games prior than he was yesterday. You know, Kuminga got himself to the line 8 times, 6 of 8, but he still had a pretty inefficient night. I think he was 4 of 10. You know, Dennis Schroeder, we were talking about it earlier, he has not given them the offensive burst that they hoped he would. And, you know, he's just, like, it's not a rim pressure team. You know, Andrew Wiggins is as good of a season as he's having defensively and from three. He's not what he used to be as, like, a rim attacker. And it's one of the weaknesses of their team. And they did not exploit Davis being out last night. And then Austin Reaves also torched them. I mean, Austin Reaves was excellent. He played like a number two star, basically, last night next to LeBron.
What's going on with Draymond's ankle? And so he just looks very physically compromised. And you see him in the corner offensively over and over and over again. And he can't hit the right side of a barn. What's going on with Draymond right now?
I mean, he's banged up, right? You know, like the calf, the ankle, the back. He's 34 now, nearing 35. He's been an undersized, like, bruising center his whole career. We've seen, you know, the athleticism kind of wane, where you know, he's not blocking shots or like kind of rebounding as powerfully as he used to. It's just kind of what he is in his career. He's got to win with smarts. And over the course of an 82 game season, he's going to get banged up. And it's why they're so adamant they want to, you know, limit his minutes at center, particularly in the regular season, which has had a domino effect that's hurt Kuminga rotation wise and, you know, kind of forced Kuminga to you know, maneuver around Draymond at that power forward spot. So it's not an ideal situation, but this is Draymond Green at 34 years old over the course of a season. Like, you got to kind of expect he's going to be banged up.
And obviously the biggest story, and we'll let you go at this one, Anthony, the biggest story everyone woke up to yesterday in regards to the NBA, Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat. And according to sources, Sham Sharania, your former teammate at the Athletic, now with ESPN, you know, Jimmy prefers trading out of Miami. Warriors, their interest level, do you expect them to be interested? And what could a potential trade package look like for one Jimmy Butler?
Yeah, so, I mean, this is a saga that I probably assume is going into January and potentially into February, right next to the trade deadline. Will the Warriors be interested? Yeah, I mean, they'll continually kick the tires on this. Obviously, Butler's, you know, pretty publicly, it's out there that he's identified the Warriors as one of the places he'd be interested in landing. It's tricky from a Warriors perspective to build the salaries and stay under the, you know, a first apron, which they have to do. You know, just because of what Jimmy Butler makes, Andrew Wiggins is probably going to have to be in the trade. Andrew Wiggins has been their second, third best player this year. He's shooting like 43% from three. He's their best perimeter defender. Take away that Austin Reeves drive last night. So it's, you know, if you're trying to make a big win now move, you don't really want to give up Andrew Wiggins, but you're probably going to have to just for salary building purposes. If Dennis Schroeder is to be in that deal, which I'm not saying he would or wouldn't, but if he is to be in that deal, you have to wait until basically the day before the trade deadline to aggregate him in a salary or in a trade because, you know, just trade rules in the NBA. Kuminga, you know, you would think Miami would want him theoretically in a deal. You know, are picks on the table? Are they not? That would be, you know, the level of bartering. But it's a challenging trade to make. And then Jimmy Butler is coming in with, he has a $50 million player option next year that he's hinting that he wants to decline because he wants a big extension deep into his 30s at mega money, right? At least 50 plus if he's going to decline the option. Is that something you want to take on as a franchise that you know, with the Warriors that's aging very quickly? Some people would say yes, go all in, you know, give whatever it takes, you know, ride the
what would you do? What would you do?
That potential Jimmy Butler extension scares me. I don't run teams. I try not to opinionate too deeply about it. They have more on like Jimmy Butler's medicals. I would want to see those, right? I mean, he's definitely dealt with some injury issues over the last few years, knee issues. I'd want to know more. I'd want to know the exact trade package that would have to be given up. I'd be concerned, like I said, about giving Wiggins up in this type of deal, because if you're doing this type of deal, you want to win now, and to win now, you would want Andrew Wiggins, and you basically couldn't have him. So I'd be hesitant. I don't know how y'all feel. I mean,
I feel the exact same way as you, and this is where, and I'm going to say something, and everyone's going to be triggered, but it's like, yeah, I'd much rather give up Draymond than Andrew Wiggins right now if we're trying to win now, and I look at the different combinations. Problem is that, you know, that feels like a non-starter, whether it's for Curry, the organization, I don't know. It feels like a non-starter. And then simultaneously, they need some of the things that Draymond brings to the table defensively. And I don't know if Miami would take him, but I don't want Jimmy Butler, and I don't want to give him $55 million. Like, no, that does not seem enticing at all.
Yeah, it's a desperate time, understandably, around the Warriors and around kind of like this fading Steph Curry window. And that leads to you know, at times, panic moves that I think there's reasonable criticism about them not, you know, making the moves in the past. And maybe they should now, but there's a chance that they do, you know, pull the trigger on a move in the next couple months. And 2 years from now, we're like, man, they really ruined their future, you know, doing that. But at the same time, I can also understand people saying, hey, look, like, what future are you going to have without Steph Curry anyways? Try your best. And then you're going to end up rebuilding regardless.
Use the word desperate there. Speaking of desperate, Miami Dolphins with a desperation win over the San Francisco 49ers last week. Anthony Slater, noted Fins fan. I see they have a 6% chance to make round one of the NFL playoffs. They're not dead yet, Anthony.
Yeah, 6 is better than 0. That was a big win.
Such a great line. Good for you. Enjoy two of $60 million a year.
Soon to be Brock Purdy's.
Right. There are a lot of outs in that deal, by the way. Oh. So, and I assume, I mean, maybe the Niners will structure the Purdy deal similarly. But, you know, some of these NFL QB contracts and contracts in general, they're so fake. You know, you can just get out of them.
There you are. Mike McDaniel, by the way, after the game, chopping up with Nick Bosa, saying, hey, I love South Beach.
Well, he said South Florida is nice.
Oh, South Florida is nice. There you go. Yeah. So, hey, maybe just a little
he's not in there.
Bosa would probably like Florida. Huh?
He's from there.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go. Okay.
Hey.
Well, they could use a DN. I'll say that.
There you go. Slates, we appreciate it, man.
Happy holidays, bro.
All right, fellas.
All right. That's Anthony Slater, courtesy of the River Islands guest line.